Praise the Lord.
But the lesson is that we may be one, and it speaks to, which was our theme a couple of years ago, because this year our theme is unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. And really that comes down to, in fact, you can, I already did that. That comes down to being able to be as one. When we talk about being one and we talk about unity, we're talking about the same thing. That means that we have the same cause. And Paul writes out in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And are you able to hear me? If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up, India. Can you hear me okay? You good? That's great. When he says that we are in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, if you look at that for a moment, and then we can bring up from there. He's making this point in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, why we should be able to get along and to be okay. He says, because in the fourth chapter, he says, for we're, fourth chapter, verse 4, he says, for we're one body. We're supposed to be one, all of us who are in Christ. His point being is that we're supposed to be in the same, we're in the same church.
Yeah.
There's only one church that's going up. It'll be, while we're on earth, something that we have to remember about churches and church work is, while we're on earth, there are many denominations, many dioceses, jurisdictions, various whatever. I'm only referring to Christendom and those who believe in Christ. I don't even have to talk about any of the other religions, because they are not in the God that we serve. And if someone was to say to me, well, how do you know they don't have their own whatever? Well, I don't. I do know, but for the sake of argument, I'm not even going there. If you choose to serve and depend on any other God other than the God of heaven, then you have to get what that God gives you.
Yes.
And if that God is not real, then there's nothing you can get.
No.
You know, and so if you choose to have another God other than Jehovah God, or the God of heaven that I believe in, I believe in the God that I believe in. I also believe in the rewards of the God that I believe in, and the eternal life from the God that I believe in. And if you choose another God with another set of rewards or whatever, then you have to get what that God gives. And if that God does not exist, then you don't get anything. And if my God is the only true one, which he is, then you become subject to him. One thing we have to always know about God, we must always know, I'm sure of it. The Word of God says at some point in time, whether it be now, tomorrow, whether it be whenever it is, it can be thousands of years from now, because if you die, there's no although I'm praying that Christ comes back tomorrow or today or whatever, I would love that. I think it would be real good for all of us. Young people might say, or someone might say, well, the young people need a chance to live. No, eternal life is better.
Yes.
And they might think that, well, I haven't had a chance to get married, do all these things. Yes, that's true. But you also haven't lived in peril of your life that much longer either. And those things dull in comparison to heaven. I know it's hard to get people to believe that, but it's absolutely true. It's like many of the things that we tell people, or we learn when we're growing up, and we didn't believe them at the time. We get older, we find out, you know what? That's absolutely true. And this is another one. But when it comes down to it, you know, and you the choice between choosing God and not choosing God. If you choose, I don't have to talk about all the people who are not choosing, who are not in, who don't profess to be Christian believing in Christ, Christ-like or whatever. We don't have to go with those because they have to go where they are. But for all church time, when it comes to the body of Christ, he's looking to see in whom the Spirit dwells and who has become his.
Yes.
Who has become his. It's like if I go to pick Timaeus up from school, there are tons of kids there, but I'm just looking for one.
Yes.
I'm looking for the one that belongs to me, you know, that I came for. It's the same thing in Christ. He's, when he comes to receive us, he's just looking for the ones that belong to him. And everybody else, not saying that they're evil, because they're not. That's where the comparison ends. I'm not saying all the other people are evil, so don't go there, please. But my point is, all the rest of the people go to whoever they belong to.
Yes.
And for us, for you, we go to whatever God we believe in. Now, if your God happens to not be a God, then you are someone who doesn't have a God, and you fall prey to whatever's out there. In this case, since our God is true and he says, if you don't come with me for eternal life, then you live eternally separated, then that's what you get. So when we look at Ephesians, he talks about us getting along. Everybody look in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're looking at John. We look in Ephesians chapter 4, and we look at John 17, and we'll talk about that for a moment this morning. So he says, for there is one body. It doesn't matter whether or not you were saved in a Baptist church, Methodist church, Church of God in Christ, Church of the Living God, Church of God, Assembly of God. Where Christ is concerned, his concern is that you learned about him being born, about his coming, about his redemptive act, about his death, burial, and resurrection, that you learned about the greatness of being in God. Not only learned of it, but you see the power of God. You must be where the Word of God is. The power of God also comes, because the Holy Spirit supports the Word of God, and He invigorates and gives life to the Word of God. So that when you pray, prayer answers to prayers come, or when you really need God, God steps in. And when he says this, he says it doesn't matter whether this morning you're in, you must be in a church where you have to be in a church where the Word of God is preached clear enough and accurately enough so that the Holy Spirit can approve of it.
Yeah.
It must be, the gospel must be preached in truth. You can't use the Word of God, as he says in one place, deceitful me. In other words, have a different meaning than what God intended. The Word of God has to be preached in truth, has to be taught in truth. So you want to find yourself sitting in a ministry and a gospel where the Word of God is taught in truth. It might be greater. It might be that there are other churches where it is expounded on more, where the preacher is more a greater speaker, where the preacher is maybe stronger in the gospel. Maybe where the church has a lot more going on and all those things. And if you're in one of those, then wonderful. But you might not be in one of those. You might be in a small church like Promise, where there's only four, five, six people in there, and not a lot going on. But the key point of it is that the Word of God that you get, is it true?
Yes.
It has to be true in order for the Holy Spirit to use it to save you and to keep you. What you know about God might be a whole lot because you might have been in the Lord for 50, 60 years, or it might be a very small amount because you got saved last week. But what you know about God must be true in order for the Lord to save you. What you believe in must be true. So in order to be in the body of Christ, there is one body that's in Christ. There's not two. There's not a set of people who believe in Jesus Christ that he was resurrected from the dead and another set of people who do not. So, well, who would ever be in church like that? I'm glad you asked. In the temple in Jesus' time, there was a set of people called Pharisees who wholly believed in God, Jehovah, and the law, and all that. They were Jews. They were right there in Jerusalem. And then there was a set of them called the Sadducees who didn't believe in God, didn't believe in angels, didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, didn't believe in anything. But they were all Jews.
Yes.
So, you know, when Christ refers to his body and his church, he's referring to everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you look in Revelation, the 20th chapter, real quick, we'll look at that. And Revelations, because it's not an S, it's a Revelation. The 20th chapter, if you go there with me for a moment. And and verse 20 and 6. Everybody there? Got that, Damascus? Revelation 20 and 6. Let's read. Let's practice reading so that you know the Word of God is true. Listen, everybody needs God in their life, whether they have Him or not. Revelation 20 and 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. In other words, you're blessed if you have. Oh, she's putting it on the screen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And then I want you to go down to verse number 15. Verse 15. And it says in verse 15, 20 and 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want us to understand when we read this, everybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're lost. And so the Lamb's Book of Life contains the names of everybody who is a member of Jesus' glorious church. The Lamb's Book of Life contains, just like you're on the roll at school and they look at you, or we're on the roll at your job, or whatever else you belong to, and all the things you belong to, and you become a member, so your name, if you have an email address, you're a member of Google's email accounts or whoever you have on. You're on Facebook, you're a member of that or whatever. Well, everybody who is in Christ's church, his church, remember what the church is. The church always refers to people. In the Bible, there might be some place, I doubt it, where the church refers to a building and something. Never. It always refers to, when it talks about Christ's church, it's always referring to people. When they refer to buildings and things, they use the words like temple, tabernacle, so forth and so on. In a court, out of court. But when we use the word church, if you find that I'm mistaken, then let me know and I'll own up to it. But for the most part, church always refers to people. So when we talk about church refers to people, when we use the word body, the body, Christ's body, the body of Christ, it's referring to people. It's referring to the people that belong to him. You could substitute Christ's family, because that's what we are. We belong to him. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We're sisters and brothers. It says in Hebrews, he's not ashamed to call us brethren because he's flesh like we are. So then when it says there is one body, back in Ephesians chapter 4, that body is the believers who have believed that Christ, one, was born of the Virgin Mary, was born of the wife of virgin because his father is God. Why did he need to be born of God and not of Joseph? Because he needed to be born free from sin. Yeah. Well, why did he get to be born free from sin? So that a sinless, perfect person could die for my sins. Yeah. All of us, we would probably give our lives for one another. If not, we'd give our lives for some of the people in here. Tekoa might would die for Damascus. Probably not. Damascus probably would die for Tekoa. Tekoa probably not. Sister Gamble would die for either one of them.
Yes.
I would probably give my life for Chandra most days. Some days I probably would. You know, just depends on how I felt about it at the time. And I'd probably give my life trying to save Donna, but I'd have to take into consideration, you know, other things. But yeah. And you'd probably do the same for me or not. But if you've ever considered giving your life for me, if that's really in this life, then please don't consider it any longer, because the life I have after this life is so much greater.
It's great.
So
yes.
Save yourself.
Yes.
All of us, when it comes down to your life being able to set someone free from sin, as Romans says, for a good man, for some people would die, but none of us could save anybody from sins because we are sinners ourselves.
Amen.
And
yeah.
Death already reigns in us. So we don't get to be sinless flesh that could die for someone else. In order for someone to give their life for you, they can't already be on death row themselves.
Right, yeah.
They have to be an innocent person who's free, and they will come in and take your place. Well, the only person who's ever done that is Jesus Christ. So when it comes to being in the body of Christ, there is one body, and Paul is making this statement because he wants the people to understand. Yes, you may be Baptist, you may be Methodist, you may be Church of God in Christ, you might be Church of the Living God, you might be any of those. But one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my time of pastoring was to allow someone to convince me to preach against other churches. And I've done that. That's a huge mistake.
Yes.
That is a huge mistake. There are sinning Baptist people, but there are sinning Church of the Living God people.
Yes.
You know, they're, you know, cussing Methodist people, they're cussing Church of the Living God people.
Mm-hmm.
Church of the Living God, let me add International, so you know the church I'm talking about. Or maybe I'll just say CLGI. Yes. There are sinners in the Methodist church, there's sinners in CLGI.
Yes.
There are liars in, name a denomination, it doesn't matter, still live
yes.
God. There are liars in CLGI.
Yes.
Some preachers are not called in other churches, some preachers aren't called in CLGI.
Amen.
And yet we go on, because I can turn it around and say there's saved people in their churches, there's saved people in CLGI.
Yes.
There are people who have the Holy Spirit in the Baptist church, there are people who have the Holy Spirit in CLGI. There are people who live godly in the name of church, Church of God, and there are
yes.
people who live godly in CLGI. Do you
yes.
get it?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I hope everybody's clear on that.
Yes.
The point of it is, the people who live righteous and godly, whether they're in CLGI, a Church of God in Christ, or Assembly of God, or Methodist CME, Methodist AME, Presbyterian, whoever, wherever the gospel is preached, you know, the power of God, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, those people who believe on that, such that the Holy Spirit comes in and they're born again, regardless of their affiliation, they are in the body of Christ. That's the one body he's referring to. He's not referring to individual denominations or organizations. He's referring to there's one body, one church, one body that believers come into. And that body is made up of people who are sure that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected from the dead after 3 days and three nights, and into his immortal body, his glorified body, and that he dwells in heaven with the Father, and that he has given us his Spirit, and you know whether you have the Holy Spirit or not.
Yes.
Those are the people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and those are the people who are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and those are the people who make up the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter whether on earth, it doesn't matter what administration, because there's another scripture, I think it's in Corinthians, where it says, same Lord, different administrations. It doesn't matter what administration we came up in, as long as the administration you came up in taught and gave and preached the gospel so that you could be saved.
Yes.
It cannot have been an administration such as Jehovah's Witnesses, and I don't mind saying it, or one of the others who don't have who don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it can't be one of those. If you grew up in a, if you belong to a ministry that doesn't have Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then you're not in the body that I'm talking about. If you grew up in a ministry, if you're in a ministry where Jesus, where God, Jehovah God is not the God of your ministry, then you're not in the body I'm talking about. If you're someone like the religion that believes that you're going to be married throughout all life and whatever, I call it name Mormons, and you believe you're going to have spiritual wives and spiritual babies and all that, then we're not in the same gospel. Because my gospel, there'll be no marrying in heaven. There's no need for it. But if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you believe that Christ came and died for us, he was resurrected, it's to the point where when you ask him to save you, you know that the Holy Spirit has come in and saved you. And maybe, as far as your soul life is concerned, you're not as turned to Christ, and the love of God is not as strong as you as God would have it be. Maybe your love for the world is greater than it should be. But there are many people whose love for the world is greater than it should be, and there are many, many more who don't love Christ as much as they should. There are even more who don't know as much about Christ as they should, and therein that causes them not to love him or be as dedicated as they could be or should be. The danger there is that when you're not holding tightly to God, when you're not grown tightly to God, the possibility of you being shaken loose is greater.
Yes.
When you hold God very loosely, it's like hanging on to anything else. If you're not seat belted in your car and it starts rolling, the possibility of you being thrown out is greater.
Yes.
And when life comes into its situations and difficult times, if you haven't really learned enough about Christ to really hold on to Christ, you can be thrown.
Yes.
So the tighter you hold on to Christ, the more likely it is that not only is your name in the book of life, but it will always be there. And that's what you need. So when he says there is one body, and he's talking about the unity of the Spirit, that we may be one unity, that we're all in one accord, he's given us as a reason. He says because there's only one body, we really need to have a better and closer, drawn relationship in Christ. It's unfortunate. It is very unfortunate that in the body of Christ there are so many unrighteous people. It's unfortunate that our soul lives, our soulish part of us, our opinions, our minds, our ways, are so prominent, even in the body of Christ, so that it causes discord and dissension and separation even in the body of Christ. And this is why he uses in the verse above, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're supposed to always work at keeping the unity of the Spirit. In other words, I was teaching Friday night about, it's the same thing. It all comes together. And John writes, if we are in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have unity one with another. When we stay in the way of Christ, we're able to get along. What causes us not to ever get along? What causes anybody to ever not get along? You stop being like Christ.
Christ, yes.
Whether for a moment, for an hour, to what extent you stop being like Christ, well, that can be as little as frowning when you shouldn't. It can go all the way to fist fights, I guess, or whatever. But the point being, and it causes an uproar in the church, is whether you fall into something you shouldn't be in or you fall out with someone. The bottom line is the reason why there is a disturbance is because someone's not acting like Christ.
Yes.
Someone is not forgiving, or someone is not having patience, or someone isn't allowing the love of God to cover all the multitudes of faults of the rest of us. Why do parents put up with their kids? And whenever I talk about parents, don't ever let your mind go to abusive ones.
No.
They're under another spirit.
Yeah.
We're never talking about them because they're under a totally different God, another spirit. So they have abusive spirits in church. They have abusive spirits in church organizations. They don't have abusive spirits in Christ's church because you are not. You're never going to convince me. You can't be. You might not be the world's greatest parent. You might not be the world's. You probably do better. But there is some abuse that I've seen in church that lets me know you just don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't treat people like that. You don't have the Spirit. You just don't. I don't care how hard you preach. I don't care. You pray all night long and shed tears, and people can shed tears behind your prayers and do whatever. But there's some abuse. Some people are so abusive until I have to just say, if you have the Holy Spirit, He does very little in you. You've given very little of yourself to Him for Him to change, and you still be that mean and that rough and that and treat people like that. That's hard. That's hard to take. It's easy when you've only been saved for a year or two, but when you've been saved for decades and you haven't changed, I won't say you're not saved, but you're not nearly as spiritual as people give you credit for. You should. It isn't the core always that people should have, that God should have delivered people. They should have wanted that gone. You understand what I'm saying? You ever have a habit that you yourself want to get rid of?
Yes.
Yeah. You're doing something that you yourself really would like to stop doing? In God, there are some things that people themselves, the Holy Spirit, should bring their attention, and they themselves should want that gone. They should say, you know what, I don't want my life to be like this. I really want the Lord to deliver me. I don't want to raise my hand against my wife like that ever again. I don't want to shrink back to that's just the way I am. It's in my family. I need that to be gone.
Yes.
And then you commit to the Lord. That's what it really means when it says presenting yourself a living sacrifice. That's laying you all on the altar. I read something last night, and I was reading in Purpose Driven Life, and. I read where Rick Warren said last night. He said the problem with a living sacrifice is that putting a living sacrifice on the altar is they can crawl off. You know what, you're right about that. Living sacrifice can crawl off. But when he talks about being one body, and he makes this point, the first thing is you notice when you read in Ephesians 4, somebody in Ephesians 4, you're looking at this?
Mm-hmm.
Endeavoring, let me read a little bit of it. He says in this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says that if we're going to walk worthy of our vocation, we're going to be someone who's really in Christ. And you also have the, you got the other version up there. Which versions do you get? There you go. New Living Testament. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together in peace. For there is one body. And you notice the very first thing he says after he says that you need to really work at. You were fine before.
Okay.
You notice he says when we need to work at being unified. And the first thing out of his mouth says, because there's only one church.
Yes.
One body. When I come in the rapture, I am not going to pick up at different locations. There is one body. I'm not going to send a... I've heard people say in CLGI, in Church of Living God, I heard say, we're going to have CLGI Street. Well, I won't be on it. Because in heaven, we will be one body. And we won't have all these different factions and you don't have the right mindset about heaven.
No.
Why would you want to not be equally in love with the people who came out of the Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Church of God in Christ, Assemblies of God? Why would you want there to be a distinction, even in heaven, of your organization? Don't we all belong to God? Don't we?
Yes.
Why would you even think in that regard that throughout all eternity you're going to be this
segment, why do you let that even creep into your mind? All of one, you, the scripture we read, I need to find that one too real quick. There is neither Jew nor Greek. I just read the other day. I think that's in God. I don't know. I get up here and they come to me and then I can't find them. But all of one in the same body. And man, I was just reading that.
Galatians 3 and 28.
Galatians what?
3 and 28.
Galatians 3 and 28, she says. Galatians 3 and 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, there is neither Jew nor Greek. In other words, there's neither Jew nor there's neither people in God or people who are in idolatry. There's neither male nor female. And don't get hung up on this. And don't go with the people who are transgender and doing all this gender identification and all that. When the Bible says there's neither male nor female. No. Please don't go there. There is male and female. And,
yes,
and he says, in other words, he's making his point. God doesn't have a preference between any of these.
Things,
it doesn't matter which one you are. You're all one in Christ. Right. It's like saying in any other household, you know, to a mother and a father, yeah, I got boys, I got girls, but when it comes to my children, they're all my children. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, it has no significance. And this is what he's making in Christ. Why do we, but we get here and want to specialize our church. I'm going to stop saying church for this morning because I'm talking about it. We want to specialize our organization.
Yes.
Well, you know, let the organization be good for what the organization is good for. But don't let it grow to a point where now all of a sudden you've used it to bring me the righteousness. Now you're overstepping and making it unrighteous by making it something that
it's
not.
Right.
So he says in here, you can go back to Ephesians. There is one body. There is one body, and this one body, he says in this, has the same spirit. One body that's in Christ Jesus. This one body. Everybody whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is one body. And he says in all this, all the people in this one body, they all have the same spirit. The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We don't have the spirit of Buddha or Shiva or any of those. We don't have any of those. Matter of fact, we don't have evil spirits. If you're gonna be in this body, you can't. You're not in this body if the spirit that works in you is the same one that works hoodoo and voodoo and all those. You're not in this body. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the unity. Maybe I'll preach this again next Sunday morning because we've been jurisdictional meeting. You know, the Lord doesn't. It's weird with me. Maybe I don't study enough or whatever. The Lord doesn't usually let me circle around really and do the same message twice. Parts of it, yes, but he always has something fresh. He doesn't let me usually circle around and just keep preaching the same message the same way over and over again. But there is one body. Why should I try and be in unity with the believers in Christ? Why do we make the distinction of, it's like we're in high school, and we're high school rivalries, and we're Fort Walton Beach, and you're Choctaw, and you're Niceville, and all this, and so we banter and do against each other, and do all this. That's not what church life is supposed to be like. Like I said, I've done it before. This is wrong. This is stupid. Probably why there's not a whole lot of people in here now. I ran most of them off trying to say, Baptist people ain't this, domestic people ain't. I should have never opened my mouth on that. I wish to God no one had ever taught me that. Because when I got saved, when the Lord saved me, my heart was pure. And I was taught to not like this. And not like that one.
Yes.
And not like that one. And not like that. Yes. That is not something I came to Christ about. I didn't
I grew up in a Baptist church, and in the Baptist church I grew in, they never said that any other church was wrong.
Right, because you associate with all people.
Never. Yeah. That's a Pentecostal thing that I picked up when I came to Pentecostalism.
Mm-hmm.
And really strong in CLGI, where we started learning that they're wrong. If you're from CLGI, you know just like I do, so tell the truth. Shame the devil. We should have never picked up on that. We should have left them where they were with Christ. Except, you know, as long as they were claiming Christ, we should have left them where they were. Unless we knew some obvious infraction. Like I said, when I referred to the LDS and them wanting to be married throughout eternity, well, I can speak against that because I know that's wrong.
Yes.
When I look at Jehovah's Witnesses and them not believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, well, I can speak against that too because I know that's wrong.
Yes.
But when it comes to just all the churches that believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, they're having communion out of Corinthians 11 chapter just like we are. They're baptizing just like we are. They're preaching the gospel just like we are. What is our rant?
Yes.
And when people are healed in their churches, they're saying it's to the glory of God. And when people are sick, they're praying for them just like we are.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
You know, I should have never learned that part. There are many things in life. You learn good things from some, you learn good habits from people, and then you learn some, if you're not careful, you pick up some bad ones.
Yes.
But the idea is when you find out that something is not quite right, you need to change.
Right, yes.
When it is brought to your attention that doesn't work, you know what you need to do? Change.
Change, yes.
And go towards righteousness and what is good. Yes, there are Baptist people who are saved and have the Holy Ghost. And yes, there are Methodist people who are, and we're all in one body.
Mm-hmm.
How? And really, I wish I had a mic I could drop, but my mic's cost too much. We're all in one body. How are you going to, when Paul preaches endeavoring to keep unity of the faith, he doesn't even know your organization exists. He's talking about keeping the body of Christ together, period.
Yes.
We need to be unified in this church. You need to be unified in the church of Christ, and then the unity will come.
Yes.
You're dividing. You're not keeping the unity of the Spirit.
Right.
If everybody in the Lamb's Book of Life has the same Holy Ghost, same Spirit, and you're saying they're not part of what we are, or whatever, then someone does not have the same spirit.
Yes.
So how are you one body? Because when Paul writes that we're one body, he's not referring to being one, but the Corinthians, we're one body. Galatians, we're one body. Colossians, we're one body. Those of Philippi, we're one body. He's referring to the one body of people who are in Christ.
Yes.
You know what you want to be? You want to be in Christ.
Yes.
So well, then why do I need a local church at all? Because you need an administration.
Yes.
You need to be taught. You need the fellowship that comes with coming together in the bond of peace. You need the learning. You need what God works through people. You need all of that. You need the worship. You need to spend time. You need the fellowship of the saints. We need to, for lack of a better word, we need to rehearse what we're going to say when we witness.
Yes.
We need to practice and to learn among ourselves. So this is why we're brought together. That's why they had synagogues, so they could learn the Word of God. You need to learn about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
You need to know what it says in Acts. You need to learn what it says in Isaiah. And all. It's why do we have schools? To teach.
Yes.
Why don't we have just one school? Because we have too many people.
Yes.
So we divide them up.
Yes.
We don't even like for our kids to be in classrooms of over 10, 15 at the most. When they have 20, that's a lot. And when you start going toward 25 and 30 students in a class, we say, God, that's too many students. The teacher-student ratio is too great. It's the same thing in churches. So when we talk about one body being in Christ, he says the reason why we need to keep unity of the faith is because we are one body. It is only going to be one glorious church, not two or three. And for the love of Christ, are you a mathematician? You don't even have to be a mathematician.
If there's going to be a number of saints that are caught up that can't be numbered, how many do you have in your organization? Well, that can't be all of them.
All of them, that's right.
Because all of them ain't going.
Lord, yeah.
And the ones that are can't possibly be a number that can't be numbered.
That's right.
You know, you ought to be able to catch up with all of them by the time you count all, including your toes, and if you don't count them twice. But so it has to be, if your organization isn't at least millions and millions and millions on millions, then there has to be people in the body who are not in your local organization. Your local church. All right. Got to be more, doesn't there?
Yes.
Yes, there does. Yes, there does. Yes, yes there is. There does have to be. Yeah, I got it right.
It has to
be. He says because everybody today, Damascus, Dakota, Chandra, Donna, Chandra, Charles, all of us in the back, every one of us, everybody on Zoom, he says, if the Spirit dwells in you and you belong to Christ, you belong to God, you're saved today. Say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Then he says, you all belong to the same body as everybody in every place else who is saved. This is who he's referring to. Now, you say, well, if that's the case, then we need to go along and get along with everybody else. Well, you could say all, you know, you can talk about being that big and you'll be right. But it starts locally. That's his point. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to the saints in Ephesus. And I'm saying to the saints in Ephesus, you need to stop fighting among yourselves. And you need to stop saying things that tear down. You know, he talks about corrupt communication in Ephesus. He says, he says, all of you don't know how to talk to one another, obviously. He says, and you're saying things that are not causing unity or bringing about unity, but you're destroying the unity because of the way you talk, and probably sometimes when you do it, you're preaching. You got that one? Let no communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, he said, because he's talking to preachers primarily in Ephesians 4, seems like, and he's saying to them all these things, if you dare to make Ephesians 4 primarily for ministers, then if that's the case, then you have to make all of it primarily for ministers. And then you got to say, well, God, you know, they got some lying ministers, because that's in Ephesians 4. So we stop doing that. And they got some unforgiving ministers, because that's in Ephesians 4. They stop doing that.
Yes.
And you got some ministers who are getting off, because every little doctor comes down the pipe, you're listening to it, he got something to it. Stop doing that. You can't take half of it and not take all of it. So then he says in them, stop corrupt communication means, or in other words, things that make people feel bad, things that hurt, things that cause people to leave, things that make people angry, things that frustrate people. They don't build up and encourage and cause people to go on. They destroy people. They tear things down. They beat them down. And who does that more in Pentecostal churches than whoever has this mic up here?
Yes.
Because everybody doesn't listen to everybody else. They'll walk off from everybody else. But you get a captive audience when you get this mic up here. And then everybody has to listen to you and whatever communication you have to give. Which one is it?
29.
What does it say? I can't even see.
Don't use foul or abusive language.
Let everything you say be good and helpful so that the words will be an encouragement to those that hear. Yeah, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edify. That it might minister grace to the hearer. In other words, encourage people. He's saying to them, when he preaches and teaches to them back in Ephesians in the 4th chapter, he's saying, we need to work at, everybody say work at.
Work at.
We need to work at keeping the unity of the Spirit, or keeping unity according to the Spirit. Why according to the Spirit, in line with the Spirit? I'm so glad you asked. Because all dictators unify. All dictators unify. And you can be in unity in a bad thing, just like you can be in unity in a good thing. That's why people join gangs. They unify.
Yes.
In the Tower of Babel, what have they done? They had unified. Yes. They had become as one. They had one language. They were all speaking the same thing and thinking the same thing and walking the same way and had the same mind, same traditions, probably had the same music, same everything, went to the same places. They were unified.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't unified in the Holy Spirit. They weren't unified according to the lines of the Holy Spirit. Their unity was not by spirit. So, well, that didn't happen now. Yes, it does. We can like a person and unify around them.
Yes.
We can like a local church organization and unify around them. We can what would you call that? We're emotionally bound to them.
Yes.
We have an emotional tie. We like them. We are part of them, and you unify with them. And when they get wrong, you go wrong with them.
Yes.
Or you support their, you become someone who enables
them.
Their wrongness,
right.
For lack of a better word. When we're unified in the Spirit, speaking the truth in love, when Mrs. Smith or Chandra or whoever gets ready to go, starts going off, we're praying and we're looking for a way to get them back right.
Yes.
Because we're only unified. We're unified when all of us are in line with the same spirit. There's one spirit. We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit along the lines of the spirit. That's why he goes through in Ephesians and later on and cleans up their soul life. He's cleaning up their soul life that you be put off the old man.
Yes.
Stop being like you used to be. Get rid of the old habits. Get rid of the old attitude. Get rid of the old mind. Whatever you have, wherever it is about how you worship and what you do, he says, become new. You're born again. You're a new creature. Become new. Allow the Spirit to make you new.
Yes.
We ought to want to be renewed day by day. We ought to want to be new every time we find ourselves doing something we don't like. We allow the Spirit to bring us to a point where we say, you know what, Lord, I'm so tired of being like this. I really want to do better. And allow the Spirit to come in and make us new. There is one body, he says, and this is why you should try and keep the, you know, live in the unity of the Spirit, you know, according to the Spirit. And there's another place that I could go, Spirit versus law, that I want to go to this morning, but when we're earthbound and not heavenly minded and not spiritually minded, much of our bounding and our unity is legalism.
Yes.
We are bound by laws and rules.
And rules, yeah.
We can live in this church and not like one another because we're all promised members. So we put up with whatever promises put up with, but we really don't like one another. We don't have the unity of the Spirit. We're unified because of rules and because of associations and because we belong. And I do it. Hey, I can say what I want to the church. I pay my tithes. You're bound by a rule.
Yes.
That's legalism.
Yes.
You're here not because the Spirit has you here. You're here because of a need to belong to something. And you write it off as being, I'm good because I belong to a church. You belong? Yes, I belong to a church. Is your church the church that is in Christ Jesus? Or is it the local organization that you belong to? You see, because the local organization is earthbound. It is temporary. Which is another thing we have to understand. As they say, as they accuse black women of saying, and another thing. All these local organizations and churches on earth, I don't care how great you make them, when Jesus comes, they're going to evaporate. There'll be no more Church of Living God International. Don't need it. Why would you want there to be? You're going to be in Christ's church crying because he won't let you wear your CLGI t-shirt. You're going to be caught up and upset because you can't put a CLGI sticker on your harp? Please. No. Use it for what it's for. The Church of the Living God is here to prepare you and get you to heaven, but it doesn't go into eternity as an entity. It ends. It ends for everyone who dies before Jesus comes. Because if death overtakes me before Jesus comes, my membership in the Church of the Living God International, should I still be in it, that I put together, ends.
Yes.
At that point.
Yes.
No, you're going to be a Church of the Living God forever. No. Now I'm in that. Now I'm literally, completely in that glorious church that belongs to Christ.
Yes.
And there's no mention of it. When God comes and ends all earthly organizations, as he says in Isaiah, he says he's going to completely wipe away all traces of them. It's not just traces of idolatry. He's also going to wipe away all the traces of all the churches that we've used, you know, all these organizations, because they're earthly, they're temporary. They're schoolmasters. They're used to get us to where God is. But this mindset of, and this is why Paul makes such an appeal to the saints in Ephesians. He says, you gotta stop having all these divisions locally within among yourselves. And if I'll use, for the sake of the day, our organizational structure, jurisdictionally, districtly, overall organizationally. He says you have to come out of all that. He says, because there's only really, he says, in Christ there's only one body. Those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are born again, those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, those who have been baptized into Christ by the Spirit, baptized in his death, burial, and resurrection, washed in his blood. He says that's the really, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter whether you go to Fort Walton Beach to Knightsville or to Choctahatchee or Pryor or a Bruner or whatever school you're in. He says it doesn't really matter when it comes down to it. There's still only one body that's in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you got your training, where you learn, that's what local church congregations are for, to train us in the way that we should go. This is where we hear the word of God. No matter where you heard the word of God, you heard it so that you would all be brought into one body. So that you'd be filled with one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He says, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling. What is that one hope of our calling? Eternal life. That's what our hope is. We have this blessed hope, it says in another place, I think Peter says it, of Jesus returning and of us dwelling with him forever. One hope of our calling. And our hope is in Christ Jesus. That's our deliverer. That's our Savior. Even when we have problems and things going on earth, our hope and our deliverance comes from God. This is the one hope. That's why I encourage saints, and we don't do them any favors. Listen, you're a Holy Ghost filled person. You walk around knocking on wood. Somebody says, well, you're not supposed to be saying, ain't no harm in it. And when I knock on wood, I know there's only one Spirit. But stop knocking on wood. You think it's funny and you're clever. You know, you saying little things, you hear people say, like, well, good luck and all this. Well, you say, well, I know it's only the Holy Ghost. You can say that. If you know it, then stop doing it. Because you're causing other people to think they can have that in Christ too. We have one hope. I'm not trusting to luck for anything. I'm not trusting to luck, and I'm not trusting in Trump. I'm trusting in God. So why do you use Trump? Because they're right. They have signs down as you go to South Florida saying, in Trump we trust. If that's not idolatry, I don't know what it is.
Yes.
And if you're a saved person and you're voting for him, you should say, now that sign is a problem.
Yes.
And you should re-examine who you're affiliated with.
Yes.
I'm not hoping in that. So why would I put that out there? Every person who's in Christ and has the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you point blank. You need to stop being superstitious.
Yes.
Because those things are brought about by some other spirit other than the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's why you don't gamble. You know, when it really comes down to it, you're trusting to luck. So he says in this, there is one hope of your calling. One Lord, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
One
Lord. One Spirit, one Holy Spirit, one Lord and Savior. Just one. Not multiples, just one. One faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. One baptism, being baptized into Christ, being made whole. One God, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. One God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And he sets all this up because he says to them, this is the unity of the Spirit. This is what we're supposed to be in. This is why we should all be able to be, to keep the unity of the Spirit, because we are in the same church. That's the whole point. We're not multiple churches, as some would have us believe. Whenever we teach people, and I've done this, and like I said, I'm wrong about it, and I pray the Lord forgive me, and he has, but I won't ever do it again. Whenever we go into the divisiveness of saying, this particular denomination, this church over here is not safe, unless you have some spiritual reason. It's not just because of their traditions and their antics and whatever. They're worldly over there. They just over there, and their women wear pants in church, and you know, the men wear earrings in their ears and so forth and so on. All right, fine. Goes against your tradition. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not. Nor does it say that they can't be saved and do that. Stop doing that. Traditionally, you grew up in one way, but know the difference between what's tradition and what is righteousness. And there is a dish. Do they often come in line? Well, hopefully they do. Hopefully your traditions, it says in one place, Christ went to church as was his custom. It was his custom to go. It was what he was raised to do, and that's in line with God. Hopefully your traditions and customs are in line with God. But know when they stop. Know when it's just what you like and what you're used to and what you grew up with. You're uncomfortable with it. Stay uncomfortable with it, because the Bible says in another place, James says to Paul wrote in one place, and I think Corinthians and Romans, one of them, he says, you know, if eating meat given to idols to you is sin, he says you ought not eat it, because in your heart it is sin. You didn't stop it.
Yeah.
And if doing some of the things that people are doing that don't constitute sin, you know, if you're a woman and wearing pants to church to you is something that you've never done in your life, you don't feel uncomfortable with it, you feel like they shouldn't, then you ought not do it, because to you it is a problem. But to other people who have the liberty and say, well, you know, when it really comes down to it, this doesn't make any difference to God, then, you know, don't unsave them because of what bothers you.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now there are many things that we really can't tolerate. Well, what if you don't tolerate? I can't tolerate what God doesn't tolerate. You must know the difference between holy and unholy. Between righteous and unrighteous. And there's a third righteous, isn't there? Self-righteous.
Self-righteous, yes.
There's unrighteous and self-righteous. And God views both of them the same. To him, neither one of them are righteous. When Paul came along, the idolaters were unrighteous. The Jewish people were self-righteous. And both of them needed to be saved. Let me finish this. So when I look at this outline, which I didn't say a whole lot about this morning because I went to Corinthians, I like the first verse, and I'll go to, I got about another 10 minutes and then I'm done. Look at John the 17th chapter. That we may be one. Let me read this outline introduction, because this is a good one. Ella Thompson wrote this. He did a very good job of it. In John 17, Jesus is praying earnestly that all of us who have been called by his name would have the same mind as he and the Father have. Several times in the book of John, he commands us to love one another as he has loved us, and be as one or have unity. This is so important. The only way for the world to know that Christ lives and that we belong to him, and that we belong to Christ, is for us to have the same mind as Christ and to work together to do his will. Otherwise, we're just doing our own will. No one will receive us or come to know the love of God. We will just create a lot of confusion, contention, and a fellowship that no one wants to join. Do you have a copy of this, Miss Campbell? You don't?
They're right here.
Well, that's really nice. They're right here.
I'm sorry.
Here you go. that no one wants to join. And he's right. You have a copy of this Damascus? And then we'll do it. Isn't that what people say about churches? They don't get along in there anyway. They're so mean and hateful. You know, what's the difference? We're not very, the reputation of church organizations is horrendous. It is. But you know what? Not one single person will be able to blame the reputation of an earthly organization for the reason they're not in God. Because there are enough people who are still preaching and teaching the Word of God. And when you hear the Word, when you hear the Bible being taught or preached, you yourself have to make a decision of what you're going to go along with. So you can't blame any organization, and I'm glad about it, because even the best organizations, they're earthly still.
Yes.
I don't care how good they are, they're earthly still. And you'll read about them that they have preachers who have fallen. You read about them that they've had fights in their churches. You read about them that they've done this. They've done some of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of all that, since they're on earth, because they are people after all, and they're a microcosm or a small set of what's out every place else. And in the middle of all that, people are still being saved. People are still being delivered. And you have to choose to be one of those who saved and delivered. That's a choice you have to make. You can't base it on the people. You have to base it on the Word of God. Because by far and large, in most cases, even though it's like news, isn't it? The nightly news you watch every night, at the very end of one of them, now a couple of them, most of them now, now that I think about it, at the very end, they're trying to show something positive.
Mm-hmm.
And most people by then have turned off their TV.
Yeah.
But the headline is always disaster.
Yes.
Because that's what people, people are sinful earth, that's what people feed on.
Right, yes.
Disaster. Think of all your television programs.
Right.
What do you think about soap operas? They're just one failure, one flop after another. These reality shows that I don't watch anyway, but just watching the commercials of, I can say to myself, you know, why would I want to watch that?
Yes.
Real Housewives of wherever. Why would I be interested in them? What's interesting about them? And they're fussing and fighting and doing, you know, what? Isn't your life, doesn't your life have enough drama?
That's right.
What's the word they use now? Extra?
Extra.
Doesn't your life have enough of that? Aren't you ready for some peace and quiet?
Yes.
But you know, if you made a show like that, no one would watch it. It's boring.
Yes, thank you.
He says in this, John 17. Gospel of John. Jesus, when John writes this, starting, I think, at John 13, if I'm not mistaken, 17, might be 14, so I think it's 13. It's 13. All of this Jesus is speaking to the disciples, all these chapters, just before he goes back. And in 17, the whole chapter of John 17 is a prayer.
Yes.
And he's praying to God in the whole chapter of John 17. It is a prayer. And he's praying to God. That it's his parting prayer for the disciples and for us, because he says at one point, I'm not just praying for the disciples, but I'm praying for everyone who will hear what they have to say. And when I read John, I'm hearing what they have to say. All the way down. I want to go down to, I'm not going to do a lot of this because my time is up now, but I want to go down to verse number 20. Verse 20. And I want us to go through, you can go through this outline and read all the scriptures. Please read all the scriptures on the outline, and we'll go from there. And especially the background scriptures, there's some really great ones. I looked at them. Verse 20. I'll start with 16 and read down. 16 and read down. Let's see, what does it say? What do we got? New Living Testament out there?
Yeah, New Living Translation.
New Living Translation. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. And when he used the term here, remember in the Bible when he used the term hates, or it says the world doesn't receive them or whatever,
doesn't mean the people necessarily, they do hate you because of it. But I guess a better word would be that the world does not like them. Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference between, you know, there are many things that we like to say we don't like, but we don't necessarily hate them, we just don't like them. Mm-hmm. The world doesn't like them because they don't belong to the world. We have a problem with it because we don't belong to the world. Has it ever occurred to you, unless you go into a hair salon, into a hair shop, where the owner is Christian, you walk in any store, you will not hear Christian music. Unless you happen to go into a small business where the owner is Christian, you won't hear Christian music. You'll hear music everywhere, but you won't hear Christian music unless you go someplace where the owner is Christian. It's just the accepted norm that you can play any kind of music you want as long as it's not Christian, and the people won't complain. But if the people have to hear you play Christian music, they will either not come to your restaurant or your shop, or they will complain about your music. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's too loud. We went to, where did we go to, Sean? Where did we go to now? We went to someplace, they brought, what was it? Was it a roadhouse? And when they were getting ready to do their little performance or whatever it was.
That was when we were there in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, and I can't think of it. We were at Smoky Mountains. And when they do their little, what do you call it, little boot scoop thing, that little performance they do, I call it boot scoop. That's what they call it, too. Two-step in or whatever they call it. They turn the music up really, really loud, so loud for me I can't even eat. So we called a lady over and said, you know, why are they bringing music up so loud? She says, well, yeah, it is very loud. She said, as soon as they do their little dance, they turn it back down, and they did. But the point being is, right, and we went to an Outback once before, too, in Tallahassee. It was right there, the one that's right near the campus. And they were playing their music really loud. It was just enormous for them. The world doesn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But you can't go in there and blast Toshikov, and, you can't go in there and, Kirk Franklin or, whoever, you can't, go in there and play Peace Be Still by James Cleveland. You're not going to, they're not going to do that. They don't want to hear that. Yeah. They're irritated. If you get on a plane and they were playing gospel music, I'm sure someone would write to Delta or whoever and say, I don't believe in God. I don't think you should play that music. Now, I can get on here and play patriotic songs. I can do all this kind of, but I can't do it in God. The world, when it talks about the world hates you, it's not like we're being persecuted like Paul. Where they're coming to kill us. They just don't like us.
Right.
They don't like your God.
Yes.
So if you're a safe kid in high school, they're going to tease you about your God, never mind about their God. Okay. As evil as their God may be, and they can write, draw pictures of them on there. I've got a really real inmate to me as watches on his iPad. Because the world, Brad, it doesn't jump out and grab him because it gradually brings him over to all the power and all this. And I keep watching that and I keep saying, I'm going to stop all this power somehow in a fashion. They don't mind that, but they just don't want you to have their God. Now I got to really finish. That's enough about that. Verse number 20. I won't go through 17 through 19 because that would take me more time explaining what sanctifies, set them apart through truth and word. 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 20. I'm not praying only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe on me through their messages. Minister Smith was preaching this, I think, last week, the week before, making the point that Jesus prays for us individually. He prayed this prayer before he left. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe in you. Pray that we'll all be one. Last scripture for this morning. One. One of the biggest, if someone ever asks me why someone got divorced after 50 years or got divorced after 5 months or 5 days, the answer will always be the same. They never became one. Or they stopped being one. They ever were one. They stopped being one.
A marriage is not just a partnership where you come together and agree. Your agreement will come to an end if you don't become one.
Mm-hmm.
You can only agree so much because you're two separate individual persons. And if you're not going to become the desire to become one, the willingness to become one, not necessarily on, not just on one part. One person may, but it has to be on both parts. You can't become one when one person can't make you one. One person will, what if one person is trying to be one and the other person is not, what will happen is the one who's trying to be one, you'll just keep going along with the one who's not, and that person will keep doing like one. It'll be a moving target.
Yeah.
You'll never catch up with it. Because they're not trying to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they get their way, the more they want. Because they're not trying to be one. When you're going to be one in a marriage, it requires sacrifice on both sides. Compromise on both sides. And so it's that way in church too, that we may be one. All of us, none of us were born perfect. So every one of us has to sacrifice to be one. None of us. Oh, some of us might not have the temper that others have, but then we have a stubbornness. And some of us might not be as stubborn as others are, but we're selfish. And some of us might be more generous, but we're liars. For us to be one, it means that all of us have to allow ourselves to compromise and to fit together. In another place it says compacted together and fit together and be one. Because none of us, every one of us, were born short of the glory of God. We were born short of His glory. We were born short of His righteousness, of the way that He is. And this is why Paul works so hard with him and tells people, don't stop coming to your local church. Don't stop being a part of it. This is where we are. If we will allow the Spirit to work in us, we can be one.
Yes.
But people take the easy way out. They just quit. Well, you know, you can't give up on God.
Yeah.
I look at people who leave in this particular organization, leave any organization. If you're going to obey God, you're going to just go join another. You're going to go join another organization, and they are going to in fact have some very good parts about them, but don't ever think that they're perfect.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, you might have a very good reason for leaving one organization. And I'm not saying that you don't, because you very well might have a good one. But at least say to yourself, when I go to the next one, they won't have this problem. But don't ever say to yourself they won't have any. Because they're going to have something.
Yes.
But hopefully, the word of God will outweigh it. The one thing that will drive anyone from an organization, and I don't blame you, is when the word of God stops being preached.
Yes.
Then it's time to go. When you can hear more of the organization's mantra than you can hear the word of God, it is time to go someplace else. When the pastor is, when his Sunday morning sermon is woven with political innuendos and this and that, yeah, you can see he's trying to steer you someplace on earth. He's trying to steer you someplace on earth and bring you to a cause of something that's in the earth, whether it be political, whether it be in the local church, the church organization. His sermon is geared towards bringing you to a point in this earthly life. I can take it every now and then. It might be something that's pressing and needs to happen. But if that becomes the direction that the church is going in, for me, it's time to be someplace else.
Yes.
Because I have to feed on and be nurtured by the word of God. I'm not a one meal person that lasts me for life. I have to eat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the word of God. You have to feed people the word of God all the time. I fed them last Sunday. Well, that was a week ago. Now they need to be fed again. Tuesday night, fed again. Friday night, fed again. Now, you know, some of us eat more than others, but you have to be fed. And if all I get every time I come is, me and Timaeus were talking about, buddy, he has a range of things we talk about. So why do people eat lettuce? What does it do for you? Okay. If your church has become like, what kind of iceberg lettuce?
Yes.
It's filling and it tastes good, but it has no nutrients in it? Then you need to change your diet.
Yes.
Because you can't live like that.
No, sure.
And if your church has become one that just sounds good, feels good, you just like it, you like the music, you like all these things, you can like all those as long as you're being fed. You can love all the social aspects and everything else as long as, at the end of the day, you're going to be fed. But given a choice between something that tastes good that has a few nutrients versus something that you might not be crazy about eating, it can't be something that you can't stand. We're not talking about casserole here. But given the point of saying what is more nutritious, go in the direction of nutrition, spiritual nutrition.
Yes.
Because you have to live after all. When it really comes down to it, you have to live after all. That's it for today. I thank God for all of you, everybody. If you're into your business, if I leave one point with you so we can get it, the body of Christ is made up of everybody who's a believer in Christ, whose name's in the Lamb Book of Life. It isn't a body of who's in a particular church organization, including CLGI.
Yes.
Not everybody in CLGI's name is in the Lamb Book of Life. A lot of people's are,
yes,
but not all of them. It is the same in every church organization you've ever heard of. It would be nice to have a church organization where 100% of them are going up. The smaller they are, the likelihood that a higher percentage is going up. But, you know, we leave that between them and Christ. The point he's making here is the body that he's talking to, the people in Christ. Everybody standing. Next Sunday is the jurisdictional conference. It will start on...